I saw an invisible man once. I didn't know he was invisible at first. It was my first year of seminary, and my student practice churching was up in Saco, Maine. I had no car, so I took the Greyhound bus up there. Actually, Greyhound and Trailways and Trailways and Greyhound. I mean, they kept changing things. But in any case, I had to go to South Station and leave from there. And one time I was there waiting for the bus, and guess what? I was having a cup of coffee sitting in that burger doodle of whatever description. And I'm sitting there, and one of the workers is there with a push broom, you know, that you just sort of push like this, and he's, you know, cleaning up. And I'm sort of watching him. I'm sort of thinking about either what I'm getting ready to do or should have done or something. And no one else could see him because they kept stepping in his way. I mean, literally, would put their foot right where that broom was getting ready to go. And I'm like, wow. And at one point, there were tables, and he wasn't actually at this point in a real clear walking aisle. It was one of those, you know, short little spaces between the tables. So if there are people on both tables, they could be together. But if they're not, they could have that sort of sense of separate. He was sweeping in there, and someone stepped right where he was sweeping. And I'm thinking, they don't see him. And so I said to him, I said, boy, sometimes they don't make it easy for you, do they? And he took his broom and he sort of leaned on it, you know how you would. And he says, nope, sometimes they sure don't. I don't know if it was because he was black, but they did not see him. I did. I didn't like it. Now, since then, I've been able to see a lot of other invisible people. For years in Montpelier, I dealt with a deacon's fund and gave thousands of dollars out every year. And I could be walking downtown, and I could see somebody, and I'd say to whoever I was with, ah, I bet I see them tomorrow. And they'd say, what? Huh? Who? This homeless person, clearly maybe a traveler, but not doing very well, new to town. They didn't see him. They didn't see him. One night at the Creamy stand, it was a big night, and Creamy stand is that particular one is a Montpelier tradition. And Amy and I get there, and somebody had a dog, and people were looking at the dog. And I said to Amy, that's Sandra Bullock. She says, what? Where? I said, at the end of the leash. And she's like, oh, it is. I noticed her because she was working so hard to not be noticed. She was invisible. She, you know, sort of tamped it all down, kept her head down. Last weekend, there was a couple in the airport who had curled up in a corner trying to sleep. There, you can continue to see invisible people, people who are on the outskirts of society, sometimes like it that way. You can see Hispanic people, too, trying hard to be invisible because, like Sandra Bullock, they don't know what the response is going to be if they're seen. And gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people are also oftentimes trying to not be seen. But you can sometimes see them very clearly when other folks are trying to push them off to the outskirts of society. But once you see them, you see them. And seeing changes you. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had the story of the rich young man who asked Jesus what he had to do for eternal life. And Jesus said, hey, you know the commandments. And the guy says, yeah, I've been taking care of all of those, especially the ones about how I treat my family, my parents, my neighbors, and all of that. And Jesus, we're told, looked at him and loved him and said, only one last thing for you to do. Sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Now, I make fun of the disciples an awful lot, but I think that the gospel writers are using the disciples to help us to be clear what the point is that Jesus is making. Because Peter says, and this may have started the sermon, he said to Jesus, look, we have given up everything. We have followed you. As if to say, you think that he needs to give up. Well, that's fine. Please notice, we have sacrificed. We have already done that. And Jesus says, none of you are going to be without reward. But I'm not sure that that sacrifice was really the point of what Jesus was trying to get at. Yes? All right, we'll try that for a while. Seeing changes you. Seeing somebody changes you. You see them. You see their pain, their hurt, their need. You see their obsession, their greed, their apathy. And it changes you. And we need to be changed. We need that transformation of being able to see. To see the blind beggar Bartimaeus, not as someone who seems to be disrupting the parade to Jerusalem, but as someone who is in need. But we don't always. We don't always. And sometimes we do. The difference is important. If we see a child, it doesn't matter how poor they look, how unkempt they are, how dirty their face, you know, if their hair is all scrooge-licky and their cuffs are frayed a little bit. If we see them and we look and we see that they look lost and scared, we're going to respond, aren't we? And if we see some elder walking around town, it doesn't matter how fine of a silk robe he is wearing or how wonderful his brocade slippers are. We're going to notice and realize that there might be some help that's needed here. But sometimes when we look at our family, we don't see our son or our daughter or our brother or sister or our mother or our father. We see someone who didn't get done what we wanted them to do. We see someone who, by history, has never really done this or cared about that. We see someone who isn't who we want them to be.
And we try to get them to be who we want them to be. Instead of looking at them, seeing them, and like Jesus, loving them. When we see a beggar on the street and they say, "Hey, could you spare some change or a dollar or something?" How often do we pretend like we don't see them? How often do we lie and say, "I don't have any money"? How often do we discount them, saying, "If I give them money, they're just going to use it for booze or drugs"? We discount them and their need. But if we look at our family members and see their eyes and how their hair has changed and the shape of their hands, it's going to change us. And if we see that man who's asking for money, we have to acknowledge that they're not just a part of the background, not just a green blob at the top of a tree trunk. They're a leaf. They are a human. They are a part of God's creation, one of God's children, one of our brothers and sisters, when we see them. So I would encourage you, when somebody does beg, like Bartimaeus was, you look at them. Part of what they want is to be acknowledged. Part of what they want is to feel like they're part of humanity. So look at them. Say no, you know, without any judgment. No. I tend to say, "I'm not going to do that." Because that to me is the truth. And if they were to ask why, I'd say, "Well, I give to the church. And the church supports food, shelter, whatever it is you're looking for. I've already done this. And I think it's the best way." But I always look at them. I always make sure they know that I see them. But that just brings us through scripture from 2 weeks ago now. And all of that, I think, ties into today's scripture, because there is this seeing and looking sort of theme throughout. And blind Bartimaeus stands up, and he wants to be seen. I don't know how you did that, Leon. But golly. Meanwhile, back at the sermon. So, today's scripture lesson. Jesus says, "Hey, we're going up to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me." And James and John, again, all right, the disciples, they say, "When you get to your glory, could we be on your left hand or your right hand? Could we have places of position and power and prestige?" And Jesus says, "Did you not just hear me? I'm going to die. I can't do that." And the other 10, they're like, "Oh man, James, John, you're trying to beat us out to those positions of power." And Jesus says, "Come on in. We need to talk about this again. All right? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Hey, you got to be a servant." There's a C in there somewhere. And then there's blind Bartimaeus. "Jesus, help." And guess what? Jesus sees him, despite everybody else's best efforts. And Bartimaeus has a question.
He wants to see. And let's rewind just a little bit to build up to Bartimaeus. All right? The rich man. What do I need to do to have eternal life? I want eternal life. Peter. I want you, Jesus, to see that we have made sacrifices. We're worthy of eternal life. James and John, we want power, prestige, and position. Yes, we do. And the other 10 saying, we don't want to be left out of that. Uh-huh. And Bartimaeus, I want to see again. Bartimaeus, I want to see again. Everybody wants something from Jesus. Eternal life, power, prestige, to be recognized. And what's the old adage? Give somebody a fish and they'll eat for a day. Cure somebody's blindness and they can fish for the rest of their life. And Jesus cures that blindness. And now he can see. Except, that's the joke. He already could see. He saw that Jesus was the Messiah. He saw Jesus as the one who could save him from his blindness. He saw that this was his chance. The blind man sees. It's the others who don't. And so, with Bartimaeus, we come to some questions for us. When you pray to God, what do you ask for? When have you ever dared to ask God to let you see, to be able to see invisible people? Have you ever asked God to be able to see our connections between those invisible people and those people that we see all the time? And see our place in the scheme of people? And how invisible people are often the ones pushed to the side, told to shut up, sit down. Seeing changes you. And that transformation may not be all that comfortable at times. Because you see things you don't really want to see. And you feel that sense of responsibility, which may have been the point for the rich man. It was not the sacrifice that was important. It was important for him to see his responsibility, his place in all those leaves that he thought of as one big blob of poor people. Once you see them as an individual, it changes you. Once you see, it changes you. And for Bartimaeus, who now, yes, he could very well earn his own living and take care of himself because he could see again. But that's not what we're told he does. He could see again so he follows Jesus. May you have that same sort of sight. And may you see as well as blind Bartimaeus. Amen. There is a clear sense that this table is the table of Jesus, for Jesus, with Jesus, of Jesus. That means that everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter if you're invisible. It doesn't matter if you want to be invisible. It doesn't matter if you can see. It doesn't matter if you don't see. This table is for you. And I invite everyone to partake of this sacrament, this ritual, because it's good for the spirit. It's good for you. And I invite you to remember one particular story that I know you folks know. It's the story of some of the disciples, scared, running away. They were trying to be invisible. And they started talking to somebody. And all of a sudden, we're told that they saw Jesus in the breaking of the bread. I invite you to see Jesus in this bread. I invite you to see Jesus in this poured out cup. I invite you to see Jesus in the person in front of you and behind you and beside you as you come forward. I invite you to see Jesus. Let us pray. Come now, O Holiest One. This bread and this cup, they are simple things. But we humbly pray that in them and through them we see you. Lord, we see. Help our blindness. Come and help us to see in the eating of this bread and the drinking of this cup. Amen. We will have this by intinction. Come on down the center aisle. Paula and I will share with you these elements, and then you can head on back to your seat. Well, actually, anybody can do it if you're stuck in the middle of the pew. You, come on up, come on up. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come, we are ready.
Yes.
The bread of life.
Blood of Christ.
The food of heaven. Taste of glory. Taste the goodness of God. bread of heaven. The bread of life. Taste the goodness of God. The bread of heaven, the cup of good things. Taste the sweetness of God. Just dip it in. I invite you to inhale and slowly exhale as we move into a spirit of prayerful thanksgiving. Let us pray together, saying, "We are yours. Thank you especially for your love that gives us a way to live and see and be. In you, we have a love that sustains all of life. Thank you, God, for renewing us at your table with the presence of our Christ. Amen."